The Adventures in Hellworld podcast talks in depth about QAnon. While it's meant to be comedic informative, sometimes we have to get into things like child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another incredible episode of Adventures in Hellworld. This week, I am joined, as always, by Eric, the Deep State Operative.
Hi, everybody. I'm here at the Great American State Fair right now, so please excuse the complete lack of noise behind me.
I just heard a pin drop behind you. Oh, my God. It was rattling around and echoing, deafening echoing. And we are also joined by Steph. It's Steph. Yay.
I like how you provide your own applause track.
In my other pod, my lady football podcast, we actually had somebody had like the clap track on their phone and would like hit the button and like make the clapping come in. So like, yeah, it's great.
My son has one of those sound effects machines. Maybe I can do that, be my own soundboard.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be just absolutely awesome. We could finally do the Zoo Crew episode of Hellworld that me and Elle always talked about. Hellworld 101.7 with Crazy Mike and the Gator. Yeah, be awesome.
Yeah.
That's a bit because when I was playing Magic the Gathering, I had L and I had other like friends who were like the people that I actually like knew. And then we had a couple other guys that were on the periphery of our Magic group that were like not really friends of mine, but like they played Magic, they had cards, we would like play test with each other. And the two of them called me Crazy Mike, which is just like the laziest nickname in the world. Everyone is quote unquote the crazy guy. So that name always annoyed the shit out of me. So whenever L wanted to stab me with a zinger, he'd be like, "Hey, Crazy Mike, how you doing?" And I'd be like, "Fuck you, buddy. God damn it." So yeah. So whenever we brought up the Zoo Crew episode, that being my nickname was an inside joke about how I hate that nickname. So yeah.
But funny about that, because Weird Al Yankovic, his nickname started off as as what he called himself on his at his university's radio show. He was, because that's what his college dorm mates called him, Weird Al. So that just, and now 40 years later, you know, he's known the world over as Weird Al.
Right, it's his professional name.
Yeah,
it's like Samoa Joe, the pro wrestler, basically. He was just called that at the gym that he worked out in because there were way too many guys named Joe, so that it differentiate who they were yelling to. And like, "Joe, give me a spot," wouldn't work because like five guys would hear their name and ignore it. So he'd be, "Hey, Samoa Joe, come over here, give me a spot." So just because that was his name, it became his professional wrestling and now acting name, because he's in the Metal Gear Black series, the TV show. He's the body of Sweet Tooth, and Will Arnett's the voice. So in the credits, they're like Samoa Joe, and I think that's like hilarious.
I'm trying to picture a guy with a pro wrestler's body and Will Arnett's voice. That's a juxtaposition right there.
Yeah, but basically, just imagine a big, fat, burly Samoan, and then like Will Arnett, but he's wearing a mask, so you can't see his face. And as he's beating the shit out of people, like Will Arnett is like talking shit to them. So yeah, that's that's basically Sweet Tooth. It's great, but
it's nice that he's found himself like after Arrested Development, he found himself a career as a voice actor.
Yes, who knew? Stranger Things. But
that's Job, right?
Yeah, Job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't hear the final countdown without thinking about him.
Oh my God. Yeah. I just love the one scene where she's like, "I love all my children." Then it cuts away and she's like, "I never cared for Joe."
Yeah. I learned something magical this week. And what I learned was that the quack doctor who gave Scott Adams ivermectin to treat his cancer, and then it didn't work and it killed him. And that guy ended up having a very ugly falling out with Scott Adams when Scott Adams was like, "Wait, your shit didn't help me. And now I'm going to fucking die." And then that guy was like, how dare you? How dare you accuse me of not curing your cancer with sheep drench? William Mackus, I believe is how you say this guy's name, this prick. And what William Mackus does, which is magical, is he name searches the words. He name searches Scott Adams. And if he finds anyone talking about Scott Adams' death, he immediately brigades you with his army of bots and followers. Because my tweet that earned his ire was I screenshotted Liz Croken because Liz had posted something about how my dad's got cancer. Well, how much sheep drench do I need to give him to cure it? And I was like, holy shit, this is really fucking dangerous because this is the shit that killed Scott Adams. And then, boom, this guy just swooped in.
Descends from the heavens.
He just descended from the heavens.
Again, with a flaming sword.
Yes, did not tag him, didn't like tag the Scott Adams account or anything. Literally just used the words Scott Adams in a tweet. And this guy and his army fell out of the sky to assault me. And it's like, man, this guy's got nothing better to do with his life than fire off his hourly Scott Adams name search to see if anyone's talking shit about him. And he's like, oh, you motherfucker, I'm coming for you. I mean, Scott Adams has been dead for a while, dude. Like, let it go. It's been a day.
And I saw that he jumps on you, and then like a bunch of reply guys are like, man, you suck, Mr. Poker and Politics. And then there was that one quote-unquote former nurse who wrote like, a little novelette about how excited she is that he's opened up a clinic. And then I, you know, all but gave the address and the give send go to fund it. I'm like, okay, this is so obviously a bot.
Shouldn't this guy be in jail? Because isn't it against the law to make a false promise about what a drug can or cannot do?
Oh, I'm sure. Well, if Scott Adams had any family that loved him or cared about this shit, maybe someone could go after him. But
they probably would have sued the pants off him.
But I mean, Scott like married some young chick, and then I think she ran away with his money. I believe that's how that
good
went.
For her.
But I shouldn't laugh, but it's Scott Adams. So.
Right, exactly. But yeah, basically, this guy, yeah, so there's no one that wants to take a swing at this guy over the death of Scott Adams. So he gets to just continue to peddle his fucking bullshit go ahead.
My favorite part was the guy who was like, how do we know that Scott Adams wasn't sent to discredit you? And the guy's like, I have considered that.
Right. Yes. Scott Adams was like, oh man, I got terminal cancer. What am I going to do? I'm going to find some Canadian ivermectin doctor and knock him down a peg or two on my way out the door.
Because you know the CDC and the HWO, they're like, this man is getting too powerful. We need to silence him now.
We need Scott Adams to bring this man down for us.
Call in the creator of Dilbert. His time has come.
Yes, this is our moment. These people, it's like the conspiracies these people craft around their own world. It's just. It's insane. It's absolutely delusional the way these people operate.
I'm pretty sure that Jim Stewartson, does searches on his own name because I remember the one and only time I interacted with him was I had subtweeted him. You know, I didn't. I mentioned him by. I don't even know if I use his full name, but he just jumps in and goes. You know, like I made a comment where I was hinting that he was a Nazi and he's like, why don't you plainly say what you're getting at? And I basically told him, you know, go take a flying leap.
Yeah. Hey, you suck, buddy. What do you want me to do?
I'm like, I'm not engaging with you. You're not worth my time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He deserves all of that. So that was magical. I would like to thank that idiot for giving me a semi-viral tweet as a result. Cause like the Liz Croken tweet got like 70 likes and like this one nearly got 2000 and was broadcast everywhere. So, thanks for the Streisand. In fact, dum dum.
Yeah. No such thing as bad publicity.
Nope. The other tweet that I looked at that was kind of meaningless, but I really want to talk about it. Cause I think it cuts to the belief system of right wingers and QAnon and this mentality is some asshole who goes by the handle Bull Moose Republican with a probably AI generated avatar of Teddy Roosevelt holding a rifle in front of an American flag, posted a tweet that reads, "Immodest white women are too brain dead to see it. Your tiny bikinis at the beach, butt crack leggings at the gym, and sports bras in the grocery store only exist because Christianity built a high trust society that tames men and shields sluts from consequences. Try that in a Muslim country, Africa, Hindu, or any third world shithole, and you'd be harassed, beaten, or worse within minutes. Oh, wait, you voted in tandem to import those very same people. You mock the very faith and men protecting your degeneracy while sawing off the branch you sit on. Peak entitled suicidal stupidity."
So that guy's never gotten laid. All right.
Some of the people in the replies have been like, this guy's probably actually a rapist given his attitude about these things. And who knows the actual identity of Bull Moose Republican and if he's not a robot or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten upset by people's fashion choices before, but not to the point where I'm like, I have to write a manifesto.
And this is like the second person I've seen talk about ass cracks and leggings. Like I saw this other guy who posted something and he called those leggings crack sucking leggings. So these dudes are really angry about form fitting pant wear that's going to show off your cheeks. And it's just, why does this upset you so much? What is offensive about this? Explain it to me. And
it gives them a feeling down in their midsection and they're uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
And they have to blame somebody else for it.
The whole idea that you can't help yourself, that you're just uncontrolled by lust and only Jesus Christ in your heart can stop you from humping these women like you're a dog on their leg, is so wild to me. Just that whole mentality is so deranged.
I remember hearing something about that. Some guy, I was reading something. He lives in Israel and he was talking about how like they segregated buses so that like men and women are like separated by like a curtain so that a man doesn't see a woman on the bus and unbidden commit a thought crime about her.
Oh my Lord. It's so crazy, that mentality. And the idea that Christianity, where if you read the Bible, it's like women kind of shitty, like, hey, like shut up, broad. Like the Bible is not exactly a feminist tract.
Yeah.
That was written to inspire equality between the genders.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, the whole Mary Magdalene was a prostitute thing never actually appears in the Bible. That was actually like a creation later on because they're like, we can't let this woman, you know, actually have a position of authority in our book.
But the main point that I wanted to make about this, besides the fact that this guy is like is obviously a raging incel, like lunatic who is deeply upset about, women showing off their bodies in
needs some counseling.
This dude needs some couch time. The main thing that I wanted to point out about this post is that white women are the ultimate enemy of these people because white women should be on their side because they're white. They should be following the white man and doing what the white man tells them to do. But because these women vote Democrat, which is what they're talking about when they're like, you voted in tandem to import these people. Basically, white women are traitors. They're traitors to the movement, and that makes them enemies. That makes them anathema. They're the worst. The people that are going to sexually assault these white women, the Muslims or Africans or Hindus or any other third world, aka non-white place, they're just savages because they're not white. They're just primitive, like scum, because they don't have the blessed white skin of the West that these assholes will always talk about and champion. And so the primitives are just going to act the way the primitives act because that's what they are. That's the subhuman nature of them. But you, the woman who has been blessed by white skin, should see your gift and acknowledge your gift and then be subservient to the white man your natural superior, your natural better, and thus vote Republican for forever so we can create a white ethno state in America and truly make America great again. No, make America great for the first time, because we've always had non-whites here before.
Yeah. And you're just reminding me of this video I saw. Some guy, you know, some gym bro, he's standing there with his girlfriend who's wearing this, like a sweatsuit, just sweat, you know, baggy shirt, baggy pants. And he's like, "Women, this is how you should dress at the gym." And I'm like, why do you fucking care? What are these women doing to you? Are they coming up to you and saying, "Look at my vagina right now, you penis"? I mean, yeah. What is going on?
Hey, Jim, bro, check out my form. And by my form, I mean my tight ass and my leggings. Because I'm trying to make you think impure thoughts. I'm trying to make you have lust in your heart. So I will tempt you with damnation because I'm a Jezebel.
Right.
And it's like, buddy, if a woman's at the gym and she's wearing gym clothes, she's probably going to show off some of her body. And the funny thing about all of this is that this is how you whine about the fit women at the gym with their too revealing leggings and they're showing off their midriffs with their sports bras. But if some fat woman was at the gym, no matter what clothing she's wearing, it's like, "Oh God, why are you in the gym, you cow? Get out of here, you sick. I don't want to look at your disgusting body, you sick freak."
Yeah, I hate the way you look, and how dare you try to do something about it.
Right, how dare you try to improve your disgusting physical form, you horrible sow. And it's like, but guess what? If she did get in shape and she had an attractive body, then you'd be like, "Put on a burqa. You're going to make me think impure thoughts with your tight, sexy body." So, yeah, guess what, women? You can win neither way. You can't win either way.
I saw this meme, and it kind of reminds me of it. It's something I've been saying, too, but not in these exact words. They said that Christian nationalism is just Sharia law with bacon and beer.
Right. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Absolutely that. Oh, my God. Well, what a perfect statement.
That's one of the things, like, and I know this is like a really stupid example, but that was one of the things that I really, really loved about the Barbie movie. Like the whole speech she gives about, like, you're supposed to like be thin, but not too thin. And you're supposed to do this, but you can't do that. And it's like, she, like, it's just like a 2 minute like monologue. And the one character just goes off on like, how like women have this like this, you can't be this, but you have to be this, and like all these opposing factors that women are supposed to be, and she sums it up perfectly. Like, I know that sounds like a really weird example, but it, you know, that's what they put on women. Like, number one, the I've been listening to a podcast called Maintenance Phase, and like, the one host is fat. She talks about it all the time. And she says, "I use the word fat." And, you know, and it's really changed my view on like fat phobia and how people talk about this stuff. And it's like, stop shaming people for the way they look, because you may see a fat person buying a bag of cookies, and like your first reaction is like, "Put the cookies back, fatty." Maybe those cookies aren't for them. Maybe they have a medical issue. They're like all these different factors. Like, before you judge someone, there are like a million different factors that you should consider. And also,
yeah, I always try to say, you don't know that person.
You, I'm sorry, you know, like, but no, why? Yeah. Why does that? How does that affect you? And that's the thing. It's like, so much of our politics today is just someone going, "Hey, I'm upset about something that doesn't fucking affect me."
Yeah. I know this is kind of a controversial because of the person saying it, but I remember this quote from this Robert Heinlein book where he says, whenever people try to impose some kind of moral law, it's always, "I want you to stop that other person doing something I personally don't like." It's never, "Please stop me from doing something I know I shouldn't be doing."
Oh, yeah. That's the way it works. Hey, yeah. I'm doing a bad thing. Fuck you. I'm allowed to do it. What are you going to do about it? Go piss up a rope, buddy.
And of course, he was making a point about libertarianism, but it's still a valid point that he was. And plus, this was, like, like I like to say, this was like actual libertarianism, not like the crap that like Rand Paul peddles as libertarianism, where it's like, I should be allowed to do whatever I want, but you got to do what I want you to do.
There's nothing I enjoy more in this world than pro-life libertarianism, where it's just like, I should be allowed to shoot up heroin, but you can't get an abortion.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's your logic there? It's like, because the fetus is alive. It's like, no, it isn't. There's like no definitional way that the fetus is alive. Fuck you. And guess what, Ron and Rand Paul? I am a libertarian of that ilk. I really am. I literally had a group chat with a bunch of my like normie friends, and one of them brought up something about drugs, and I said, I think all drugs should be legalized. And boy, howdy, did I start a firestorm. Everyone came for my ass. And I was just like, I don't see what them being illegal. Because someone said it, like, I think it might have been Ron Paul, but someone said it to the effect of, is why you're not doing heroin is because it's illegal. If heroin was legal, would you start shooting up? And that's my mentality is, the war on drugs has failed. Legalize it, criminalize it, all that good stuff. You want to do the hard shit? You have to go to a doctor. They have to show you a video that's like, it will kill you. Do not do this. And then if you still say, I want to do it, they give you a prescription and you go to your CVS and you get your cocaine or your heroin or whatever. And that mentality for me was a bridge too far for all my normie friends. I was not winning that race for office in that room if I was going to become Representative Raines. Let me tell you, that was no bueno.
My mom has the same stance. And what she always says is just imagine, you know, it would just completely change, like, you know, South America, you know, if suddenly cocaine was legal, the entire landscape would change.
Oh, all those cartels would be furious.
Yeah.
All those, you think they want all of our drug companies manufacturing cocaine in America? High paying American cocaine jobs?
Yeah, cheap, clean, and not cut with, you know, right, horse no manure.
Yeah, no fent, your cocaine.
Yeah.
Like all of it. I mean, I just, I'm the same way that like sex work should be regulated and legalized. If you're a sex worker, you have to have like a badge that like shows that you've been like tested for STDs in the last like 3 months and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah, this is like the kind of libertarianism that Penn and Teller.
Like legalized drugs, legalized prostitution, abortion, birth control. Who gives a shit?
As long as you're not hurting anybody else.
Yeah, right. As long as you're not carrying around a little like something in your pocket that tells you what the legal age limit is.
I too have seen Transformers. So yeah, but.